Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Hey guys, I know we're all working so hard to stay fit and healthy at home. So check out my app. I have free daily 7-minute workouts. Download the app. It's Jillian Michaels Fitness app. Download it. Do the 7-minute workouts. You don't need any equipment. There's total body workouts, ab workouts, leg workouts. You get a new one every single day. And if you want more, obviously, there's a heck of a lot more in the app. There's over 1,000 different exercises. All of my DVD workouts are in the app. I can customize a workout for you in the app. There's freaking yoga, kickboxing, HIIT training, outdoor runs, bodyweight training, free weights. There are thousands of recipes, no matter what your diet preferences are. But at the very least, please do the 7-minute workouts for free. Hey, hey, beauties. How is everybody doing? They can't answer me. How do you feel about that opening? Because the hello, friends, is a bit too Rogan-y. Mm. Hey, team, is feeling old, and you know I hate high guys.
Yeah, and yet, you can't. You can't quit it.
No, I'm gonna go with beauties.
That's beauties, all. I like beauties.
I've been feeling that a lot lately. Hello, beauties. Mm, yes, that's nice. What I think, team.
That's nice.
What
I like.
Oh,
it.
Shit, I just called them team again.
That's what I think, guys.
Can't win, right? What do you think, guys? Huh, team? All right, we're gonna jump right in. We've got a really good show for you today. Hayley Quinn is going to be on the show, and she had an overwhelmingly successful TED Talk because she is the UK's top dating coach. And her TED Talk was actually called Searching for Love to Escape Ourselves. So, like, here's this person that you think is going to be telling you how to, like, you know, fall in love and capture the person. And instead it's like, yo, get right with yourself if you want to have healthy love. And I remember watching her TED Talk ages ago and thinking, my God, this chick is spot on. And I've been dealing with so many friends in my life that I've been like love doctoring. And holy shit, Cindy, I can't. It's like, and it still comes back to like, but should I text this? I think I'm gonna message that. Should I watch his story? Should I not watch the story? And you're just like, dude, what the fuck are you talking
about? Well, I never understood like the like team behind the texting in a relationship, because I mean, I know when you were dating someone I knew a long time ago, I was constantly asked, oh, she wrote this, what should I say back? And it was like, why are there three people responding
And by the way, I dated that person for 5 seconds and was like, yeah, no, thank you.
But
which, exactly, because it was never even that person.
It wasn't really her, exactly.
Behind the, you know, and it's like, I get that it's so hard to be authentic and real and vulnerable, but the rest of this is just bull. Mm-hmm. So I've got like, dude, I mean, I'm like juggling like 3 friends that are all like sane, smart, pretty women with shit going on, and each and every one has their own little slice of crazy. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've got the one friend who's like, well, you know, he wants to see where it goes, and like, you know, but he's saying he's not ready, but like likes me, but like this, and then is insecure because he thinks I'm out of his league, and then is intimidated by my ex-husband. I'm like, oh my God, he's a pass. Dump him.
Yeah,
not gonna work. Yeah. Writing's on the wall. And then it's like, then my other friend is just serial dating all these guys, right? And it's, should I text him? Should I this? Should I that? What should I say? And I'm like, mama, like, the fact, like, this guy is showing you who he is. Believe him.
Yeah.
So either keep it casual or get out. But it's never getting beyond where it is. And I can't figure out why I can't get through to my friends, or why I can't get them out of this weird, like, rat on a wheel. You know what I mean? Like, they don't go anywhere.
I mean, I remember people used to always say, like, oh, you find love when you're not looking for it. And so any breakup, I would be like, well, I'm not looking for it. Oh, look over there. But if I don't say it out loud, I'm not really. But until I really wasn't looking, meaning I spent time with myself, by myself, and it wasn't an expectation that every time I went out, it was to find someone.
Right, exactly.
That's when I found someone.
And it's
the,
like,
right one, I should say.
I mean, and looking at, why do you keep going back to a dry well or a dysfunctional situation? It's like, this other person I know has the opposite problem because she dates women. So instead, it's like these weird serial monogamy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And each one's not right.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, you know, and it's like there's the first one, and it's like this person will say things, and I'm like, oh my God, you're not in love. Why are you doing this? There was like an issue about, you know, it was like one person broke up with them, but wasn't really that into them, but stayed, I don't know why, then dated someone else, and you're like, all right, this is never going to work. You know, and it would say things like, oh, and I thought that she ate the cereal in the house, and I was super pissed. And I'm like, you were mad that somebody ate with what? You know, like, you're not, but my point is, like, you're not in, you're not there. So why are you staying? What are you running from? Like, you're not in love. Then it was like, waited to find someone else to break up with the person that she wasn't into even a little bit, right? And then now has been dating that person for about a month and is like, oh yeah, but I knew this person, and so like this one's gonna be different. And I'm like, stop. What are you doing? Just chill for a second. Like, you're going to the one, to the one, to the one, to the next, to the thing, to the this, to the that. And it's like, dude, you don't calm. Shh. I just want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just want to be like, shh. Like, all three of them, I just want to, like, swaddle them and hold them and calm them the fuck.
Rock,
like,
them for a while.
Whatever you are going through, dude, is not about, it's not about love. Like, I don't know. And that's really what Haley talks about. So, like, you know what? I'm not even going to get into it. I'm going to let Haley do her job. And if you would all identify with any of the dating craziness or chaos, like, get excited, because Haley is amazing, and she is one of the best in the world at what she does. So we will take a break, and we will be right back with Haley Quinn, who talks to us about searching for love to escape ourselves and how to stop doing that shit.
Stop it.
Stop it. So it turns out we have a bit of a gamer on the team, and it's the Schminder dog.
That's right.
And her new favorite game is called Solitaire Grand Harvest. So it's Tripeaks Solitaire, right? And it's set, like, the background is you're on a farm and you're playing solitaire, and it's got these, like, soothing wildlife background sounds. I swear to God.
I'm playing it right now.
I play it, like, while I'm in line at the grocery store, or, like, at the freaking airport, right? When I'm, like, waiting to get on a plane. Why is it called Grand Harvest, people? Because they've got hourly bonuses based on how many crops you grow. So the more you play, the more you can harvest. And did I mention it's free? You can even connect your social accounts to see how your friends are doing in the game. I think, Cindy, are you like at level 100 now? Whoa. Whether you're stuck inside or you're just dreaming of the great outdoors, now you've got a fun farm-style getaway right at your fingertips. Download Solitaire Grand Harvest for free today in the Apple App Store, Google Play, and Amazon.
Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Okay, we are back with the UK's top dating coach, I want to say love expert, the true love doctor, Hayley Quinn. Hayley, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I gotta be honest, I became a huge fan of yours when I watched your TED Talk, which has millions of views. And here you are, the dating coach, right? The dating expert, five things never to text. Like, and this whole TED Talk was about looking for love to escape yourself. And you're almost like advocating not dating for a while. And that rang so true with me at a very specific time in my life. And I was wondering, and I always wanted to ask you, and I'm so glad to finally have you, you know, as a captive of this. of this moment, how does a person who's supposed to help people find love, fall in love, couple up, end up doing a TED Talk about taking time to be alone? What prompted that?
It prompted that. It's just like everything in my life wasn't working. Basically, it was totally shambolic. And what was ironic, I mean, it's still shambolic now, but I think it's like healthy shambolic. You know, it's so instead, really, I just think sometimes that we think that the way to romance is we see it in movies, we see it in like stuff on TV. We think that you're going to have a moment and there's going to be a lot of drama and you will overcome that drama. And then somehow you will find your way to be together. And that's what the way to true romance is. And so I kind of like hurtled through romances that looked a bit like that. And I also think things that sounded like a good story, things that actually weren't very, very good in real life. But at some point in my 20s, and this is so misguided, and I feel so bad about this, but I actually thought, like, this is quite cool. You know, I'd go to meet my friends, have a glass of wine, and be like, you'll never guess what happened to me this week. This was crazy. And I used to revel in the fact that, like, I could like top everybody in terms of I was dating the worst guy or had the weirdest thing happen to me. And it all became, and I was just sort of like engrossed in this melodrama that gradually, like, it's almost like the dose of the melodrama needed to get stronger and crazier and weirder in order for it to feel satisfying. And then I kind of looked around after I had some really bad life stuff happen. This is like when I was about 27. And I just realized, I was like, if I carry on down this path, there is no way, you know, I'm not going to meet anyone. I'm not going to be happy. I realized that all of my relationships weren't working. And in fact, so much, whether it's how we represent love in the media or dating advice, it all seems geared towards the wrong thing because it's like missing that fundamental piece of the puzzle, which is actually you have to be okay by yourself first. You have to have actually got to like a good base level with you. And I do feel like sometimes in our search to find somebody else, we're trying to kind of like cover up some of the stuff in our lives we actually really need to look at.
How did you get into this? Is that what sort of prompted you to get into helping people? This epiphany of like, I do have to slow down and like love myself first. Like what moved you into this line of work?
You know, the slow down, love myself first thing, regrettably, came years later. Like I started out actually. And I think like a lot of people probably who are really interested in, well, who isn't interested in dating and romance, it must have been something that I wanted to heal or figure out. Like I wanted to be involved in it somehow. It was like trying to get control of something that I felt out of control of. And a lot of it was chance. It was chance, revenge, and needing a job. Those are the factors I would say summarized. I wish it was like, oh, I studied psychotherapy. No, I didn't. What actually happened is I was at university and I stumbled upon this, and this is going back like over a decade ago. So it's like blogging was just starting, Twitter was just starting. And I'd stumbled upon this underground community called Pickup Artists. And I got my heart broken by someone who was a pickup artist, or the acronym PUA. And these are men who teach other men how to seduce or attract women. I grew up in a tiny, tiny, tiny like fishing village in the UK. Like I had no clue. You know, I thought if you loved someone, if you were being sexually intimate, that meant you were with them. I didn't know about like multiple relationships, open relationships, pickup artists, this, that, and the other. So when I found out that like I was just part of one of his many, many women in his life, I think I went on a kind of a vengeance mission where I was like, who are these guys? What are they teaching? How dare they? I'm going to track them down and infiltrate and find them out. And luckily, because Twitter was so small at that stage and blogging was so little, and because I was like 21 or something, I was like quite a cute, I think, university student. Suddenly these pickup artists are having this 21-year-old student be like, hey guys, I love your work. Can we chat?
I
infiltrated. And funnily enough, one of the first guys who I spoke to actually offered me a job, because I studied English, in fact. He offered me a job as his ghostwriter. So I started to write his blogs for him. And he was based in New York. I was in the UK. He then flew me over to New York. I obviously had this idea of New York in my mind, that it was like Sex of the City and it was super glamorous. And and you know, you can imagine my horror when I walk up to this tiny apartment in Soho. I go in and I discover that I'm going to be sleeping on his couch. When the couch opens up, the couch is the width of the living room. I found myself there, and obviously, you know, this was just classic me. I was like, no thought about personal safety, or is this a good idea, or, you know, could he mistake this as having any intentions? No. I was just like bang in there looking for something exciting to do. And of course he hit on me relentlessly, nothing happened, but it did mean that I got invited to all these kind of underground seminars where they were teaching men about these dating skills. And then occasionally I get thrust on stage as like the female opinion in the room.
My mouth is agape for those of you who can't see me, because I actually did not know this about you. I didn't even know this was a thing, Haley.
It was a real thing. So, you know, like doing the TED talk and stuff, like that was when I was starting to finesse my speaking ability. But it really did start in a New York basement surrounded by guys who had been Googling how to text a girl, or, you know, how do I know when to kiss her? So I was just in this world, and, you know, but I found, I was like, hey, there's kind of a space here for the woman's opinion, though I hated that label at the time, because I was like, it's, you know, so I'm just a coach, you know, I don't want to just be a woman, I'm just as good as the other guys. So I kind of, and I think as well, as a way to sort of defend myself from being hit on within that world, I kind of adopted this persona where I became like the hitter honor. I was like I became one of the boys. Does that make sense?
Of course it does. You adapted. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then I went out and I was kind of living this life, and, you know, went back to London, and I moved into this house, which was full of, which they call a lair, by the way, fun fact, which again is like.
So I moved back into my lair. Seminars to seduce people. This okay? Sorry, continue.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm cleaning up my act. The cleaning up my act bit is coming. And so yeah, I was, and again, this the story is like underpinned by just like bad living accommodation. So I was sharing an apartment with like seven different guys. They were all also trying to launch their own laptop based dating companies. Mm-hmm. At one point, a Norwegian film crew moved in with us. So there was like, I don't call my math, like 15 guys all living in this house. We sublet one of the rooms so to a guy who paid the rent, and we then took him out and about in London to like the clubs and stuff, and the trying to teach him to meet women. And that is how I survived for the first couple of years.
Wow. Okay. So here we are, right? You're like, Slick is fuck. And you've got this whole thing on lock. You're on fire, early 20s. Like, who smashed the crap out of your heart that made you have this 180 where you were like, hold on, I think I'm seeking out this, I guess, what do you call it? Drama, mm-hmm. chaos, whatever, mm-hmm. to kind of escape deeper issues. Like, so where did that...
See, I think it was already smashed, or in the process of being smashing at this stage. Because I was like creating a facade that wasn't even me to go out there and battle the world. So I didn't have to be my like introverted normal self. I created like this superwoman avatar who was really down with the guys, you know, who could be like...
Date at that time, or you dated, but just...
I dated, didn't really care. And then I also just started to... basically, if I wanted to be in a relationship with someone, it had to be the most like... jaw-droppingly exciting, sexy, dangerous, right. bad for you person, okay. you know, and I kind of reveled in that. And what was funny is this built up and till the last relationship, I would say, of that era. Mm-hmm. And I even told myself, I was like, no, this guy, you know, he's really different. You know, he's a sweet guy, blah, blah, blah. So I'd sort of things were starting to not work for me. And anyway, we moved in together. He was in the rock music industry in the UK, so we had a very like, at that time, that was also what was important to me, was being cool and hanging out
with
cool people.
How old were you at this time then?
So I think it was about 26, 27 by this point.
Okay.
By this time,
so you've been doing this for a while, and you're right, you're savvy, and you meet the guy.
Yeah, had some success teaching guys, you know, that had actually gone pretty well. And so I was quite established as, you know, a woman who taught men about dating stuff. And I, in my way, had been trying to kind of like question some of the dating industry and think, you know, there's going to be a better way to teach this than perhaps this really cloak and dagger pickup artist way of doing things. So I'd kind of started to make my mark. And yeah, and you know what I started to realize? It's like, you know, when there's a point in a relationship where stuff has just got, excuse pardon my French, like batshit crazy.
Yes.
And you keep going, you cross the line and you start doing these weird things happen. Like, I can't, there were so many of them. Like, it was, you know, he'd walk out, I'd walk out, the other one would trail the other one down the street, clothes would go flying over the balcony, you know. It was just really, and you know, he cheated on me. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go and try and seduce the woman that he cheated on me. I was like, it was just crazy. It was madness in every way. But in the middle of it, on some level, I felt deeply unhappy. But at the same time, I was so... you know, my world was so like, where am I going? What party am I going to go to tonight? Who are we friends with now? Like, what can I do? I was so vapid, and there was nothing there. And I think that, and also I just honestly wasn't even thinking about what makes someone a good partner. You know, how could I build something with somebody? And anyway, I ended up going to Canada to film Vancouver to film a documentary about the pickup world. And when I was out there, I started feeling a bit weird. And long story short, when I came back, I took a pregnancy test and found out that I was pregnant by accident. So, you know, this guy's reaction to it was that he was going to take as many drugs as were available to him and disappear off into the night. And he immediately went home to his parents. And when he came back with a removals van. And he took all the furniture outside of our apartment while I was out. And I kid you not, he had left me the note. And the note on it just had two X's. That was it.
Shut up. I think everyone has walked into that room. Kind of like what you're saying, at one point or another, or walked into that apartment and half the shit is gone, or, and it is the most primal abandonment. And I find that so many, though, then run out and try to fill the void.
Right. And I had done in the past. I had done that. I've been through, this wasn't the first time something like this had happened. It was just the stakes were higher now because I was pregnant. And then, you know, in my mind, I decided I was going to keep the baby. And, you know, a few weeks later, I miscarried, which again, happens to a lot. This is not on, it's something that we're like, I've noticed we're really talking about it a lot more. But back then, not so much. It was a taboo thing. Yeah. And, you know, I remember the feeling and it's not comfortable. And it's probably one of those memories, you know, when you see your embryo come out, that is something that will that sticks in your mind
forever.
Forever. And this guy wouldn't answer my calls. And this is not somebody who I'd known for a while. This is someone I've been with for years. So that was it. And then at that point in time, I was like, right. I was like, I'm back to ground zero. Rock bottom.
My God. But then like, this is what I love so much about people like you, is that you take these hideous cards that we get dealt in life and you then looked at it, said, okay, what am I contributing to this? Changed your life, brought meaning to it, and now help other people change theirs. Okay, hold on a second. Cindy's giving me the look. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with Haley Quinn.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian. All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. I can stick with something for longer than 30 days. It's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype. From the support they give to their amazing shape. And best of all, they're super comfortable.
whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra. I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If you take a multivitamin, you really don't want a bunch of fillers and sugars added to it. I mean, come on. That's why Ritual is made up of key nutrients and forms your body can actually use without any of the shady extras. And that's why Cindy was really happy to find Ritual, because she can feel good about taking them, even on an empty stomach, and she doesn't have to worry about running out or running to the store, because Ritual is delivered straight to your door every month with free shipping. Plus, you can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And if you don't love Ritual during your first month, they'll actually refund your first order. Ritual multivitamins for women, men, and teens, including their best-selling prenatal, are scientifically developed to help support different life stages. You deserve to know what's in your multivitamin. That's why Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/Jillian to start your ritual today. That's ritual.com/Jillian. All right, we are back with Haley Quinn. The name of your TED Talk, Searching for Love to Escape Ourselves. Like, if you don't get it, you know what I mean? If you're not the person that goes, holy shit, I've done that, or holy shit, that's me, like, you're just not awake yet. You know, we've all done it. And I'm wondering, what exactly is it, do you think, that we're escaping? You know, like, what is it that we're running from?
Well, I can tell you about that. And I'll tell you a funny thing about that TED Talk as well. I had agreed to do a different talk that with...
What?
And if you are, yeah. And
I feel so behind the scenes, Cindy. I'm like, wait.
Like, I know.
I was my TED Talk almost didn't happen? What?
No. I hadn't. I'd planned to do something totally different. I'd pitched something totally different. You can ask Brett Simmons at the University of Nevada. He'll tell you that he was horrified when I started talking, and he realized that I was just not doing...
You what? What happened?
3 months beforehand, you're submitting the script. You have to get it perfect. But on the plane over, I was like...
Harvard, getting approved for a TED Talk. Just for those of you who... I've never been approved for one. Never. It's that hard to do it. To give anybody perspective out there, it's very, very hard to get courted by TED, approved by TED. And then I love that you were like, fuck it. Okay, so...
I'm on the plane to Reno, which is where I did it, from London. And I just I'm just looking at it and I'm like, it felt inauthentic. It just wasn't accurate. And I was like, I'm just going to change a little bit. And I start changing it and I realize, oh, I've changed the beginning now. So I have to kind of change the middle bit. Otherwise, it's not going to be. And sooner or later, I change the whole thing. And the 24 hours before that TED Talk, I locked myself. I think it was in some funny hotel in Reno, like the Peppermill or something. And I just locked myself in my hotel room, massively jet lagged. And I crash revised the new talk, which, by the way, TED is timed to the minute. So if you go a little bit over, that's it. They just cut you off.
Oh, my God.
And I went out there and it was just like something else. I've never, ever really had an experience before where I've walked out, said something, blanked. And walked off. I remember walking on the stage and I remember walking off the stage.
Really?
Really? And that was it. And I think it was, you know, and I've actually often thought about my work since. And I think, you know, I'm almost going to make a big change up as well in my brand. And whilst it's great to talk about, I guess, commercial dating stuff like texting, and there's definitely, that's often what people Google, funnily enough. You know, they never Google,
right.
I really need help with, you know, this top
dating
bad
all the wrong people.
People, or I'm really hurting. People don't Google that. They think it's about a text message. But I think I need to be more open about the fact that it isn't about a text message. It's actually, that's one of many, many, many signals that there's something going on for you that you need to look at and address.
It's like this one friend of mine, I'm like, oh my God, stop. It's like this person to this person to this person. And then it's like, I'm going to marry this person. I'm like, you've known this person 28 days. And I'm like, you know, you should watch this TED Talk. Like, I think you're doing this to avoid deeper things.
Mm.
And I have so many friends that do it, be they 45 or 25. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, from your professional opinion, like, what are we running from?
I think basically, if you have to sit down and you turn your phone off, or there's no messages on your phone, going back to text messages, no one excited is messaging you, you haven't met anybody that you find interesting, there's actually nothing going on in the romantic area of your life, and you're just sat there by yourself in your apartment, looking at the wall, and you know, you haven't drunk a glass of wine, you haven't eaten a really unhealthy meal, you haven't done something worse than that, you know, and got totally wasted, and you're just stone cold sober by yourself. At that point in time, normally stuff will come up for you that you have to think about that you're not happy with, whether it's something that happened way back in the past, you know, something that happened at school with your family, with your self-esteem, with who you are. There'll probably be some sort of something, some ugly thought in your head that you just don't want to address that will rear itself. And it is so tempting in that moment when that comes up to drown it out. And there's many routes that people take to escape from that, right? It could be, as I said, it could be something that you take. It could be bad friends. It could be a bad relationship. It could be, I think the root cause is all the same thing. And the most powerful thing I think you can do is, sometimes it's just like there comes a point, I think, where you have to stop trying to plaster over the cracks. And you have to go, okay, this is where I'm at with things. And you actually have to experience and feel and process all of that stuff that you might have been trying to bottle up or veer over for a very, very long time. And that is really, really tough. Because often when you look at, I think, as I did, that reflection in the mirror, you realize, I'm actually really not ready for a relationship at all. You know, I haven't got a particularly good relationship with my parents. I'm partying all the time. Like, I love distracting myself. I'm the first person to like jump on a plane or ring a friend up. You know, why can't I just actually be by myself? And why can't I also be myself? Why do I have to be turbo supercharged, ultra charming, cool Hayley Quinn? Why can't I just be normal old Hayley Whittle, who's a little bit geeky and a little bit introverted? What's wrong with her? And I'd realized that all of these parts of my personality, just they weren't one consolidated whole. And I was just using any method possible to run away. And I see this happening so much. I mean, maybe I read too much into it, but I still use Instagram a little bit. And, you know, you see people and their next picture, they've taken, well, maybe not so much in COVID, but, you know, they've jumped on a plane somewhere. They've gone out to some party.
Yeah.
As you said, with your friend, they've just met someone new. And
oh my God.
I'm not, and all of those things are
they
good when they're coming
though.
From a good place.
Yes. I remember years ago, and maybe this is another reason what you said meant so much to me. And I mean years ago, I must have been, God, early 30s. And I'd had another mess of a relationship. And my therapist was like, you know what you need to do? You need to date yourself for a while.
Mm.
And he pointed out to me that for my patterns, right? It was like, okay, you buy that person flowers and then you're resentful they don't buy you flowers. You get them the food they want, but then you're resentful they don't get you the food. You watch their show, you do this, you do this, you do this. You're codependent and you've wrapped your whole existence around pleasing them instead of taking care of yourself, pleasing yourself. And when you do that for you, then anybody else who comes along will be enough. You're not looking for them to complete you. You're not looking for them to, you know, validate you. And I was looking for all those things. And I find that now that I was able, after I split from my ex, to sit for a year, and I did have some crazy dates, and when you said these truisms, this is something I kind of want to circle back. I'm making a bit of a segue here. But I remember you said we've got these truisms, like we tell ourselves, like it's just a numbers game. I'm going to keep going till I meet the right one. And we get on this almost pathological bent of serial dating. But what are some of these truisms that we tell ourselves that are obviously like bullshit?
Okay,
that
so
we can identify
down
for
into...
people, you know?
I'm going to break them down into two categories. Category one is like the justifying it in order to keep going with it truism, okay. Which is okay. Like, I'm just going to, you know, it's just, you know, right now I'm just really enjoying being single and experimenting, and I've too busy in my life for anything serious. So I'm just going to enjoy this. I'm just going to enjoy, you know, he's really good. The sex is great. You know, he's just down the road. So whatever. And by the way, people can genuinely feel like that. I'm not saying, you know, like I would be the last person on this earth to say that women or people or whoever can't have casual, enjoyable sex. That's not the point. But for every person like that, there is another person who actually is really into this person, but they've managed, they so want to somehow keep this person in their life that even though everything this person has communicated is saying, that's not what I want, they somehow find a way to justify it to themselves.
Staying in it.
You've got to be totally upfront with yourself. And I find that that's something where dating truisms can come in. And the second one is the dating industry. And I really need to probably take on the dating industry a little bit more again, and also be much more conscious myself about kind of what I'm saying and putting out there, because it only takes one dating YouTuber to say, these are the tried and tested secrets to catch and keep a man.
Oh my God.
Then
it's like, these are the tried and tested secrets to burning belly fat. It's the same shit.
Same deal. And but the thing is, it's all about like, it's about the subtext, right? It's about like, first of all, that there's a quick and easy way that you can do this that doesn't involve like hard work or self-reflection or any of that other stuff we don't want to look at.
Totally.
And then also, it's a, when we listen to something like Catch and Keep a Man, what does that imply? It implies that men don't want the same things as you. They don't want commitment. They need to be somehow finagled into it, you know, that we have to kind of like creep around them. Rather than going, actually, the right way of looking at it is, you know, there are all sorts of different people out there. Some people are going to want the same level or a similar level of commitment to you. Others are going to be in a totally different ballpark. And your job is to find someone who is relatively on the same page. That's it. That's just about people and their preferences, where they're at in life, and you know, also how much work they've done on themselves and whether they're able to actually show up for you as a partner or not.
The thing about Catch and Keep, it's so interesting because even my girlfriend talks to all her friends who are also straight. And I don't mean to suggest that, you know, men, you're right, Catch and Keep. But that is the joke about lesbians, right? Is like, what do you bring on a first date? A U-Haul. So like that tends to be less of the issue with lesbians. It's like, what the hell's wrong with you that you can't be alone? But with the guys, it always does seem to be a game. Oh, post this Instagram photo of you being out with someone else so he feels like he needs to chase you. Don't be too easy or he's not going to want you. And it's like, there's no maturity. None, even as grown ass women. But like, it's exactly what you're saying. It's like Catch and Keep. Like, how do we manipulate instead of just being strong enough and vulnerable enough to be honest? You're right. And then if the person's on your page, right, it's like you'll know it and you can move forward in a healthy way. But if not, you're fucked from go, it sounds like. Yes?
Yes. Yeah. And I think what you've got to do is, I think the best shift that someone can make is you have to stop thinking about, the question isn't how to catch and keep him. It's like, it should be, what do I want? And am I happy so far and how this person is showing up for me? And does that align? Because it's so hard. Like, other people are inscrutable. We can't know what's going on in their minds, but you can tangibly look at how they're treating you and the day-to-day actions and how you feel when you're relating to them. And you can work out pretty quickly if that's feeling good for you or not. And then if it's not feeling good for you, it really isn't a question of getting out like the snake oil or the mojo, you know, super sexy secrets, and that will fix it. And suddenly, magically, this person who wasn't that emotionally available is going to become Mr. Super Awesome or Miss Super Awesome overnight. That isn't happening. In fact, the brave thing to do is go, you know what, as much as I'm attracted to this person, as much as we had the spark, as much as we had that amazing coincidence that was kind of like a movie when we first met, and yeah, he said all these things like he'd never felt that way before. He hadn't told someone that in, you know, since his ex. Despite all that stuff that he said, the facts are, he hasn't messaged me in a week. You know what, I actually want someone who can communicate. I need a partner that's here every day. This isn't good enough for me. It's not right for me. So I'm not going to even feel bad about it. I'm just going to let it go and crack on with the rest of my amazing life over there. And you know what? When something is right, you don't. It's first of all, it's easy. It doesn't necessarily begin with a massive, great, big, you know, thunderbolt of lightning and birds singing in the trees. But it should feel like, oh, this person, like, I find it easy to communicate with them. They seem to want to hang out with me and get to know me at a similar pace. If I put a little boundary down, like I need to take things a bit more slowly, or actually I'd like to see them more often, we have a respectful, nice communication around that. There's never a question mark or any confusion about what the status of the relationship is. It's never a situationship. It is
a situationship, my God.
A situationship. Yes. Yeah, yes. It's not a situation. It's a relationship or friendship, or you're dating exclusively or not exclusively, but that is clear to you.
Right.
And then, you know what? It's easy, and you just move on happily with the rest of your life. And I think the sign actually of the great relationship is, rather than the relationship is like center stage, that is your whole life and existence, is what is so-and-so doing? Are they with me? Have they started seeing someone else? Are they going to text me? That is just the most humongous drain on your energy and your resources and your time and your ability to get on and do all the other stuff that you could potentially do with your life. If you have a good partner and you have all the free brain space, all the free energy, all the free time, because you're so secure and you're so happy in that area of your life, you then go out and conquer whatever else you want to do in the world. So that, to me, that's what a good relationship is.
Haley, I'm going to be honest. I think I could literally sit here and talk to you all day, potentially all week, and even all year. Yes, I went there. Yes, I did it. I could do a deep dive on every single one of these subtopics. I'm wondering, would you come back and do a series with me? Maybe we do February. Like every week in February, we take a deep dive on the truisms, the situationships, and really help people go beyond these YouTube videos you're talking about.
I could just say, she says yes. I would absolutely, I would love that. I consider it also, it would be like a public service announcement. You know, this is how, if we can just get past all of that how to catch and keep a guy, forget about what to message someone or what to do if he hasn't texted you in 2 days. We're just going to stuff that for a second. Because the truth is, if you can see through the matrix and get in the right mindset about your love and dating life, all those little tiny actions become easy. And that is how love and dating should feel. It should feel easy. It should feel happy. It should feel rewarding. It should not feel dramatic or chaotic or a mess. It is there to lift your life. It is not there to put a downer on it. It's there to support you going and doing all of the other things that make our lives meaningful and good.
I'm so excited. I cannot wait to start working on this with you. In the meantime, guys, you don't need to wait till February to get Haley's advice. So you can go to HaleyQuinn.com. You can go to all her social handles, which is at Haley Quinn, except for one, which is...
Oh, no, this is a good story.
Yeah, except for Instagram.
Instagram, I'm at Haley Quinn X because someone else got the Haley Quinn tag. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to be, her bio says loves cats, rats, and tats, which is fine.
This is not you.
But it's not you.
I've got an X afterwards, so you'll find me there.
Right, perfect. And please watch the TED Talk, Searching for Love to Escape Ourselves, Haley Quinn. And we will have Haley back in February to help us sort our shit out a little bit further. Haley, you are even more amazing than I expected. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for coming on. And finally, we have
so
a true
much.
Love doctor on the show. I don't have to fill in anymore.
Thank you so much for having me. I've loved it.
All right, guys, we want you to subscribe to the podcast so you can stay up to date with our life-changing and life-saving information. So on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening, click that subscribe button.